morning, Mr. Watson. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Good. You must be a morning person because you're up, you're awake, you sound lively. A morning person, coffee person. What gets you going so early, Ben?
You know, I am not a morning person at all, in the least bit. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Got it.
You just got to get up and get going. So I woke up, changed the baby's diaper, handed it to my wife, and got going.
What a guy.
Wow.
Up and changed the diaper.
Yeah.
What, your wife stayed asleep, stayed in bed?
Well, she had to feed the baby first, then she's going back to sleep.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
No. Hey, Ben, have you pulled this routine? Like, if she's out and you've got the baby, and like, maybe 15 minutes after she leaves the home, the baby does a big dump, and you know she's going to be home in an hour. And then as soon as she walks in the door, you say, oh, honey, I think he just filled the diaper. Here, you take him.
It doesn't work when it's all dried and crusty.
I hate to pat myself. I've been pretty good with the I mean, that's one thing I think that I can do. I can't feed the baby because I don't have to, you know, I don't have to wear with all
parts.
The tools, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I can definitely change it, so that's what I do.
Do you ever gag or dry heave in the middle of one of those changes?
Sometimes I do. If she looks, and the baby looks at me like, what's my problem? So.
Hey, you know what you could do this weekend? And it's hard to do when you're playing in the game of the century, Ben. You can go under the radar. Everybody is talking about a tight end. It just doesn't happen to be the Patriots tight end. When you look at that, I mean, do you like that? Do you like that idea? I mean, if you go out and make four or five catches, a couple touchdowns, they're going to say, wow, you know, we knew the tight end was going to have a big role on this game. We just thought it was going to be the other tight end.
You know, you always got to be ready. You know, you never know when it's going to be your turn to make the two touchdowns. You know, hopefully it is this week. That'll be great. But, you know, the other tight end, you're talking about Dallas Clark. He's having a great year. And, you know, it's hats off to him. I mean, I think he's leading the league in reception. So it's a great year for him.
Do you, when you look at him, do you look at him as a tight end, as a counterpart, or is he different? Because I assume you are, you block more and he gets more opportunities to catch the ball.
I definitely look at him as a tight end. I mean, that's what he is. He's obviously a great athlete. You know, he's a huge part of the offense. You know, he does some blocking, does some catching too. But he's just a great player. I mean, he makes a lot of, you know, big plays for them. So, I mean, he just does a great job of what he does.
Hey, Ben, I know that, you know, when game time rolls around, adjustments are made depending on what the defense does, the offense adjusts. I also know that in spite of, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 scripted plays, it sort of is a fluid situation. But I'm wondering, during the course of a week of practice for any game on the schedule, do receivers know what the intent is of the offense that week? As an example, do you know whether this week or last week or 2 weeks before that you're going to be featured more, or Randy's going to be featured more, or Wes is going to be featured more based on the repetitions and what's called in practice?
You know, I kind of have an idea of the route that it's going. For example, you know, about 2 years ago, we went and played Minnesota, and they had a, you know, great, you know, defense up front. And mm-hmm. So, you know, we knew that we might end up passing the ball a lot because their run defense was like tops in the league.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, when you go into a game and you know a certain team's really good in one area, you may decide that you want to attack, you know, something else on them instead of going right to the teeth of the defense. But a lot of times it's in-game adjustments because there's been plenty of times where we thought the defense was going to play us a certain way and they play us totally opposite, a way that they've never played anybody else. And so we have to make those adjustments during the game.
You know, Ben, of all the things Belichick coaches you guys to do, the thing you probably do best well, is to provide this united front when it comes to talking about your upcoming opponent. And prior to the Buffalo game in the first week of the season, oh, this is a big game to get off on the right foot. Oh, we're at the New York Jets. He has a division game. We got to win this game. Every single game is a big game. Every single opponent is great. In your heart of hearts, though, is there a little different feeling around the facility this week, knowing it's Peyton Manning, it's the Indianapolis Colts, it might be for home field advantage, and really more important than maybe some of the other games you played?
You know, maybe there should be, but, man, I'm going to go with the United Front. It really is not. You know, it's the biggest game of the season because it's the next game of the season. And, I mean, when I talk to you next week, you'll ask me what the biggest game of the season is, and I'll be like, it's the next game.
Yeah.
Because in actuality, that's the truth. The next game is always the biggest game. Last week was the biggest game for us. you know, the division game, it was Miami and all that. But now that that week's over with, that game really doesn't matter, and it's this week. So, I mean, you just have to look at it, you know, week by week, and that's something that the coaches tell us, and that's what we buy into. That's our united front.
Yeah, so he's not just coached you to say this. It sounds like he has coached you guys to believe this.
Yes, we actually believe what the master tells us.
The master.
Do you know how many games in a row they won in the regular season, and do you know how many you won 2 years ago in the regular season in a row?
I guess two years ago in the regular season, we won all of them. What was it, 16 games?
But you had the NFL record for winning streak. It is 21 over 2 years. And they've won 17 straight in the regular season. But I was just wondering if you guys were aware of that, if you ever discussed that they're coming after your record.
Well, I don't think they're coming after our record. I would imagine that they're probably looking at it the same way we did, was trying to win one game at a time. As a matter of fact, on film, I saw a big sign in their stadium that said one game at a time. So they probably aren't even thinking about the record yet.
You know, we heard the story from somebody earlier this year after Vrabel got traded to Kansas City, and it was about Vrabel. And it talked about his relationship with Belichick and how he was one of the few guys that could not challenge him but have some input. And I guess Mayo got his bell rung on a particular play, and the offense went three and out, and it was time for the defense to go back in. And Vrabel, sitting next to Mayo, knew that he was still a little glassy-eyed. And Belichick, or the position coach, sent him back in. He said, no, leave Mayo on the sideline. He's not ready now. I say all of that just to ask the following question. Does anyone, now that Vrabel is gone, anyone on the football team, Ben, have the cachet to, not literally, but figuratively raise their hand and question something Bill Belichick says or does, whether it be in practice or in games or a meeting? Can anybody say, Bill, I got another idea about that?
Vrabel was Vrabel. I mean, we used to call him like Coach Belichick's son. I mean, they had a very special relationship. I don't think anybody's at that point yet, but we kind of kid Mayo that he's on his way.
Ah.
There's no Vrabel as of yet, but maybe in a few years it might be Mayo. We'll see.
Hey, Ben, I'm just looking at the numbers, and Dallas Clark, 60 catches. They've thrown him the ball 73 times. He's second in the NFL. You're 108th in the NFL with 19 catches. They've only thrown to you 25 times. But you've done the job. I mean, you make the catches. You have the speed. You beat the guy you have to beat. Do you ever look and say, why don't I get more I mean, maybe not 60, but why don't I get more balls thrown my way? Why can't I be that guy?
No, not really. I think I just look at it as, you know, everybody has a certain role to play. And, you know, in some year in my career, I may be that guy. In some year, I may not. In some year, you know, he may, you know, have those 50 catches. In some year, he may not. We play on different teams. We play with different people. We have different coaches. We play in different cities. I mean, you can't go around comparing yourself to other people. I mean, well, whether it's good or bad, you know, it's two totally different situations. So, my focus is on what I have to do with the New England Patriots. It has nothing to do with what he's done with the Colts. That has absolutely nothing to do with me. So, you know, while I do watch him and I'm excited for him because, you know, I met him a few times. He seems like a great, you know, great person. It doesn't change the way I approach my job. It doesn't make me upset in any way because it really has nothing to do with me.
Hey, Ben, final question. I don't know if you watched any of the Bears 49ers last night, but Jay Cutler threw a career-high 5 interceptions. He's also had a game where he's thrown 4. I believe he's at 17 right now. And since you're not going to play the Bears this year, they're not on your schedule, and I don't think you're going to see them in the Super Bowl if and when you guys get there, so you can go ahead and talk about an opponent that you're not going to play. As a wide receiver with one of the two best, arguably two best quarterbacks in the history of the game, Tom Brady, when you see a game like that and you see a quarterback like Jay Cutler do those kinds of things, does it make you appreciate what Tom does? Do you look at Tom and say, wow, that really separates him even further than what people understand the difference between, you know, Brady and Manning and the rest of the league happens to be? What's your take when you see let's just call it an inefficient quarterback struggling out there as opposed to the guy you play with on Sunday?
Well, no, I didn't see the game. Number one, I was asleep because I had to get up early and talk to you guys, so... you know, I didn't stay up and watch the game, but you know, when I see a quarterback, you know, that's struggling, again, I think the same way, you know, looking at what Dallas Fox has done, there's a lot more to football than one player. And you can never put all the blame or all the accolades on one player. I mean, there's a lot that goes into what you see on a Sunday, or in this case, a Thursday. So, although, you know, I would definitely agree with you that Tom is, you know, to me, he's the best quarterback ever. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it. You know, there's coaches, there's receivers running the right routes, there's offensive linemen blocking, there's the quarterback making the right read. So, you know, even though a quarterback, you know, may have threw 5 interceptions, you know, you can't say he's a terrible quarterback. You can't say he's a great quarterback because you don't really know the situation that he's in.
All right, Ben Watson, don't forget, a little Purell on the hands after you change those diapers, okay? It's just the right thing to do.
All right, guys.
All right, good luck out there. Ben Watson.